Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production. It's episode 90 of the Startup Podcast. I'm Dan Vonderhyde, and we do it once a week, and we talk to entrepreneurs, and we talk to investors, we talk to people who have succeeded and people who have failed, and learn from their lessons so that we can move on with our own projects and make them bigger and better. We talk a lot about the market here in Louisville and why we're a strong startup community, and it's pretty cool. So I appreciate you coming in every week. I appreciate you subscribing on iTunes or leaving behind a review or sharing. Of course, I need people to share this content as much as they possibly can with people who they think would be interested in what we're talking about. Any small business owner, this applies to them, these types of conversations. So please share with your fellow entrepreneurs. And of course, if you want to sponsor the podcast, step up. You can send me an email, contact@louisville.am. Easy way to get hold of me. You can tweet me up. I'm at Dan Vonderhyde, or find me on LinkedIn. You can connect to me pretty much any way online. I do keep Facebook locked down and pretty private. Nobody wants to look at pictures of my kids in their pajamas and stuff. I don't think if you do, then you're weird and you should probably just stay away from me. Anyhow, this week we talk with Chris Bailey from GearBreak. It's another one of the Velocity attendees this winter. He's a native Louisvillian, and he's got a little piece of hardware. He brought one, and we talk about it a little bit. He brought one into the studio, and I didn't really describe it. I think I even mentioned in the podcast that I'd take a picture of it, but I didn't. I even let him get away without taking a picture of him. So I really need to mind my P's and Q's here. But certainly, I do appreciate you coming back each and every week. If you know somebody that might make a good guest for the podcast, by all means, reach out to me at the aforementioned places on the internet. And I'm always open to suggestions for entrepreneurs that you know that are doing something of interest in our community. So please send those guys my way. I don't want to take up too much of your time with this yappy introduction, so let's get started with Chris Bailey from GearBreak here on the Startup Podcast. Record button, and I don't have these settings correct, and it sounds like somebody's holding a microphone three rooms away. That's not the sparkling clarity we're looking for here at Louisville.am. So, are you from Louisville?
I am from Louisville.
All right,
all my life.
So you know exactly where the studio is. If I say twig and leaf, you're like, oh yeah, I know where that is.
Absolutely.
So, what about the rest of the? I know Andrew grew up here. Louisville, but what about the rest of the team? So are they all Louisville based this time around?
So there's one other team, Nurseversity. He's out of Southern Indiana, so he's lived in the area his entire life.
Okay,
and then
shout out for Southern Indiana.
That's right.
That's where I grew up.
That's right. Home of Velocity, Indiana.
That's right.
And the other team, Drifter Events, they just recently moved to Louisville from Tampa.
Okay.
So they've lived here for the last several months. I'm trying to get that started up. The other one is out of Chicago.
Million Dollar Scholar.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're keeping it regional.
Yeah.
But partly local here. So I can dig that.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy for me to say, oh, I'm at, you know, Dundee and Douglas. People think, oh, okay, I know where that is.
Right.
So, you know, last time I had people from Los Angeles wandering around the Highlands going, where am I? I don't know about this Louisville thing. So you've been in this thing for a month now, right?
Been in the Velocity program a month, yeah.
Okay.
It's been pretty exciting
so far. And GearBreak is your company.
Sure.
And tell me from whence that came.
Yeah, we've been going hard at it for about the last 6 months. The idea has been through several iterations over the last year, just really with a goal of trying to reduce rear-end collisions overall was our initial goal starting out about a year ago. And sat on it for a while. I had a pretty nice full-time paying job. And then eventually it kind of came to the point where, you know, I really need to either focus on this or let it go. And I just couldn't let it go. It was too important to me.
Okay.
So
why?
You know.
Is that a logical question? Why is this important to you?
I think I think it is a logical question. It was about a year ago. I was coming down 71 and I saw a really bad accident.
Ooh, yeah.
Two really bad rear end collisions back to back. And the first one looked like it was about 10 car pileup. The other one was another 10 car pileup. And it really upset me. And the biggest cause I saw for that was just people not paying attention and running into the person in front of them.
It's too easy to not pay attention.
Absolutely.
There's too much that you could be doing.
Right.
Or looking at.
So that accident really kind of haunted me for a long while and seeing the
– But this is not a result of you rear-ending somebody?
No, it was not me.
Oh, certainly not me. I have a friend who had a problem.
It was just two tragic accidents that I passed by that really haunted me and stuck with me. And I kept thinking there's got to be something more that can be done to reduce rear-end collisions. And through the iterations of the product, we've really kind of come and focused on motorcycles, especially with me being a past motorcycle rider.
Former motorcycle rider.
Because there's only two types of motorcycle riders. There's the motorcycle rider that has wrecked and the motorcycle rider that's going to wreck. And I'm not trying to curse anyone. That's just a saying that's out there.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. I'll never have a motorcycle. My wife is an occupational therapist, and she worked in the head injury unit for a while.
Right.
So I have resigned to the fact I will never have a motorcycle.
Resigned or forbidden?
If I push the whatever. I mean, we'd talk it through, but it's just not that important to me.
Sure.
You know, for me to cause that much of a problem.
Sure.
Over two wheels. It'd be better for me if I'd ride my bicycle anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little healthier.
Yeah, I rode for about 2 years and eventually had that wreck, and
Was it a rear-ender?
It was not a rear-ender, but it was from someone who just couldn't see me.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so that really stuck with me, and I had to stop riding because it was too big of a fear not being seen on the roadways.
All right. So you what was the birth – I understand why you're doing this, but where did this whole – idea come from? Like for the technology, it's a technological. Is this it sitting on the table here?
Okay. So this is it. I'm sure it's tough for people listening to
see
this right
now. I'll put
a
picture up or something. So.
Sure.
Okay. It's very simple looking.
Yeah, I've always been really fascinated with hardware, and the hardware movement now has gotten to a point to where anyone in their living room can come up with a cool microprocessor that can take inputs and create an output. So I took the microprocessor hardware platform called Arduino, and with an Arduino I was able to plug an accelerometer into it, a little blinking light, and after a little bit of code and playing around, I had something that worked.
Are you an engineer?
No, not at all.
Well, I didn't think so because I snooped you a little bit on LinkedIn, which of course is where the all the accurate information is on people.
So I'm not an engineer.
You have like a sales background, right?
Yeah,
like you're a marketing guy.
Yep.
So how do you know what an Arduino is that right?
Yeah, Arduino.
Arduino flux capacitor is, or an accelerometer. What?
Yeah, there's a lot of great websites out there that can really help you get started with it. Like Instructables is a really cool website that you can look through, and it just sort of says step by step how to make this really cool stuff. There's also a really great organization in town called Level One.
Of course, yeah, yeah, I'm going to have them on here.
And Level One is fantastic at helping people push through this. But you know, really, it was just I like keeping up with some of the tech that's going on, and I saw that after reading a Make magazine. That there's this thing called an Arduino, and it's simple enough that a non-engineer sales guy like me can go out and create this really rudimentary prototype that works.
It sounds a little like pasta, Arduino.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad joke. Bad joke. Okay. So you put this thing together, like the prototype.
Sure.
Right? Okay. But that's not what I see sitting here.
No. Sitting here is a pretty thing that an engineer can come up with. People way smarter than me. And I was able to just sort of hand them that prototype and say, make this happen. Make this real.
Like in a schematic, or did you have it like written down, or did you just hand them the physical object and said, I want this to be prettier?
Yeah. I was able to
– And how did you find those guys too?
Yeah. So there's some pretty cool guys in town called Beam Technologies. They had made the app-connected toothbrush.
The Beam Brush, sure.
Alex Frohmeyer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So Alex was a friend of mine. We've known each other for a little while. And I went to him and I said, hey, this is what I'm looking at. And he said, you know, hey, we might be able to help kind of get things kickstarted for you. So they did some of my initial engineering and were able to come up with a good first unit that we're getting ready to start pushing out.
Okay. So you just – it just happened to be somebody you knew.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm asking is because lots of people have an idea for a widget,
right,
so to speak, or a gadget of some sort, but they don't know like, who puts that together, who assembles it.
Sure.
Is it an electrician? Is it a – you know, I guess in most cases it would be an engineer, but where do you find those sorts of people? That's the question I'm looking for. So call Alex Frohmeyer if you're listening and you have something you want to build.
Absolutely. Call him or just start showing up at level one and getting to know those people. That's been a great resource as well.
Right.
So
you're I guess I want to talk about the product, but I also want to talk about you.
Sure.
And your background. You I saw on your LinkedIn profile Bailey Tools. Is that a family?
That was a family
company situation.
So when I came in, I was fourth generation into that.
What's the story of that company? Is that a is that a hardware store or is it a manufacturer?
Bailey
Tools.
So they sell contractor equipment to mechanical, electrical, construction type companies. So the power tools, safety equipment, fasteners is really what they're known for in Louisville. They've been around over 75 years now. And then there's a store in Indiana. Actually, there's two stores in Indiana, one in Indianapolis and one in Evansville.
Okay. And you, fourth generation, you were a sales rep?
Yep. I did sales. I also did some purchasing for them.
Okay.
And I stuck around there for about 3 years, and it was great.
Not that great.
Well, you know.
You're not there.
I wanted to see what kind of trouble I could get into on my own.
Well,
is
that because of you grew up in an entrepreneurial family, you think? You had to think, oh, you know, I'm going to go make my own bones here?
I think that's a part of it. And as you say, I did grow up in an entrepreneurial family. My dad since started a different company. My mom has started a company. My great grandfather started a company. You know, so it's just sort of felt right.
And you were working for somebody else before you did Gearbreak, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I came from Siemens Rail Automation.
Okay,
I was selling rail automation components to, people all over the United States.
That's gripping material, man. I'm just kidding.
I literally sold railroad crossings.
I didn't know that there was still a market for those sorts of things.
There
is
a salesman out there for railroad crossings.
I guess there's hope for the railroad industry. So, sales seems to be your thing, but how do you handle all of the technological aspects of what you're doing now and even the business side of things, like – you know, the accounting part of it and the operations and all of that. Or are you – how many people are you working with on this?
I've got about probably three contractors. I've got my R&D contractors that I'm working with right now. I've got a website contractor and an accountant that's working with me as well.
And an attorney.
How could I forget?
Does that go unspoken?
How could I forget the attorneys?
Of course.
Yes, absolutely.
Are you a one-man company then?
I am a one-man company right now working with some really great people.
All right.
And luckily I've just been able to surround myself with great people that are knowledgeable and can help when I need them.
So how are you spending your day in that case if you're the only guy doing it?
Yeah. So I spend a lot of my day strategizing how we're going to move forward, with sales and the marketing aspect of it, and coordinating between all of those contractors, trying to get everything pushed forward. We're actually getting ready to be launching our pre-sales this week. So that's been a big push right now, trying to get the website up and ready and make sure that our manufacturing pipeline is all ready to go for this spring.
Is this a consumer product?
It is. So the initial product is going to be an aftermarket component that a motorcyclist is easily able to install on their bike in about 10 to 15 minutes.
There's no market for this in automobiles? At a very basic manufacturer level where they're going to
– Yeah, sure. I mean, and if you know that manufacturer, let me know because I would love to go out and talk to them.
Well, I'm sure you would. But that's sort of part of the – Lean Launchpad thing.
Sure.
Is do you have all of those customer segments broken out and do you have plans for that stuff?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
How deep have you gotten in a month?
We've gotten to the level that we're ready to attack the aftermarket and see some really strong traction with that. You know, we think if we see some real strong traction with the aftermarket selling to the individual consumer right now directly, okay, then we can go in and tell the distributors, hey, carry our product. And then the distributors can sell it to the dealers, and now we've got a dealer distribution network.
Okay.
Then once that really gets settled, we can go to the manufacturers and say, you know what? People want this on their bike. They're more likely to buy a bike with this product on there, this safety feature, this investment in their bike.
Yeah.
You should be the first one to adopt this in your motorcycles, and you can be seen as an innovative, safety-oriented motorcycle company.
Yeah. I mean, is that just a recent plan, or did you go into the Velocity thing knowing, all right, this is our starting point?
Sure.
And then we're going to work up to this. Or did that all come as a part of your customer discovery, or what's the term I'm looking for?
The business model canvas?
I'm totally blanking out.
Okay.
I'm doing your interviews, talking to people.
Yeah.
Getting out of the building.
So that has been a huge part of it. You know, I first started out when it was just a really basic idea, still probably about 4 months ago. I went through Nucleus's Launch It program. And that's 10 weeks of customer discovery that they push you through.
Yeah, I see my plaque on the wall up there.
Hey,
I did it, baby.
You did
it
too.
I did it last spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know exactly what that is that we go through.
Right.
So I went through 10 weeks.
Which is why I have no explanation why the terminology is escaping my brain right now. But.
So after 10 weeks of really focused customer discovery, that was really kind of the market we saw, was that people are willing to install this themselves on a motorcycle level. On an automotive level, you know, my mom My mom isn't going to open up the wiring of her car and install this. But we found that motorcyclists, they keep their motorcycles in their garage. In their garage, they've got tools, and they enjoy working on their motorcycle. That's a kind of a fun weekend project.
Part of the community is that working on stuff.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. As a non-bike rider.
You know, as a bike rider, that was my favorite thing, was finding another little part, whether it's a new exhaust or you know, any sort of new part that I could install on my bike. That was a lot of fun for me.
Okay. What's the challenge at this point that you've had to overcome? And would you say about a year ago you cooked this up, and then so you've been working on it for the past, say, 12 months?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the, you know, what have you really been beating your head against the desk for, just thinking, ugh, this problem, we have to solve this problem?
Sure. Intellectual property.
You mm-hmm. know,
everyone
didn't see that one coming.
Oh, man. So this gets into the lawyers. Whenever you tell someone, hey, I've got an idea, here's what I'm thinking about, the first thing they say is, you need to get this patented. Okay, sounds great. Can you give me 10 grand to go do that? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I knew from the get-go that I wasn't going to be able to just sink a ton of money into patenting something that I didn't know if this was the final product or technology that would come out. So that's really what has been the toughest decision for me going through this, was do I patent the first idea I come up with? Do I file a provisional patent, spend a couple $1,000s on that? Or do I really spend my time and energy talking to customers and trying to make sure that what I'm doing is fitting their need mm-hmm. before I go out and waste all of my time and energy on patents?
Did you know about the lean thing before you did that? Or was that just an instinct? Because that sounds like a very lean sort of approach to it.
Right.
I'm not going to do anything until I know that I got something here.
So that was sort of an instinct of me. I'm somewhat frugal.
Gotcha.
And I don't like wasting money on stuff if I don't see it as the final conclusion. So it was really tough for me to tell a patent lawyer, yeah, sounds great. Go ahead, get started. I'll cut the check. And then we'll figure out if this really works.
Okay.
Luckily, I had some close friends that were able to say, you know, hey, check out this lean system.
Okay.
Go through the Nucleus program. And do some customer discovery before you spend a dime.
Hmm.
Luckily, I had some great friends. You know, Daniel Johnson and Taylor Trusty were able to say, seriously.
Both veterans of the Startup Podcast, by the way.
Are they really?
You bet.
Man, I need to go back and check through your archives.
It's pretty good, I got to tell you. A lot of smart people have sat in that chair where you're sitting.
Wow.
That's why I learn everything.
Wow.
I only do it because I'm curious. I don't know anything about anything. I'm just asking questions here. So I'm learning from all of you people. So that's cool. You have that problem solved then?
Yeah, we're filing our provisional patent right now.
All right.
So hopefully we'll beat all of your listeners to the filing status. But that'll be done very, very shortly. We've already got it written out, and it's just a matter of filing and getting it pushed through. So it's a no-brainer at this point.
But you're ready to start. This thing is ready for the market, right? Did you design the, you know, display for the aftermarket stores and all that stuff, or is that your thing?
You know, it's something we'll probably get to here in the next couple months.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Designing the point of sale system,
right?
It's something we know exactly what the technology needs to look like. We've done testing. We have all of the hardware planned out. It's just a matter of getting the boards sent back, getting them tested one last time, making sure that we're good to go, and then doing a manufacturing run. So we're confident we can ship by April 30th. Hey. The first, you know.
That's my birthday. Happy
is it
birthday
really?
To me. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, ship them on out, man.
Yeah. So you could have one at your door on your birthday.
All right. Send the motorcycle first.
Okay.
That'd be a good idea.
Okay.
Do you draw from your family on any of this stuff? Do you talk to them? Like, you got to come from a family of entrepreneurs. Do you say, this is what I'm doing and these are the methods? Do you have those conversations?
Yeah, I do. And you know, they've been important to me in being able to kind of bounce those ideas off of them. You know, they're not necessarily – well, my dad rode a motorcycle for a little while.
I'm talking about the business part of stuff.
The business part? Yeah, absolutely. My dad, he keeps pushing towards you know, the accounting side and, mm-hmm. and making sure that – you're not wasting money. So the frugal side, I think.
Oh, gosh. Where did really that came by that, honestly, didn't you?
Really comes from them, which I think is fantastic. It works great for me as well and works towards the lean startup system.
But he didn't – I guess he was managing the business at that point. It wasn't – he didn't start it, Bailey Tools. Right.
Right.
So that was his day-to-day was
sure.
managing the people and the money and making things work at the end of the day.
Sure.
Not necessarily the same world that you're living in.
Sure, but he did grow it from a one branch operation into a multi-state three branch location. So kind of some of the marketing hacks of just going out and talking to people,
mm-hmm.
you know, I really got from him and what he's been able to manage through that process. And then, you know, he sold out of his share and is now working on a barbecue catering company.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the biggest thing I see from them is just go out and talk to people and surround yourself with a great network, because that's how they both started their businesses most recently is just talking to people.
Are they sold on the lean methodology, you think? Have you talked to them about that? Are you sold on it?
I am absolutely sold on
okay.
it.
Okay.
Their businesses are a little more established and they're really not startups at this point. It's running businesses.
But can they understand that you're spending so much time talking to people and massaging things, or they come from a place of this is what we do,
right.
this is who we do it for,
right?
And then you got to force that, you know, just go out and force it,
right.
so to speak. I don't know.
Yeah,
good question. Hey, I stumped him. First time ever.
Congratulations. Yeah, it's yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, if you're sold on it, that's all that matters.
Right.
So that's how you're moving ahead.
Sure.
And you seem to be, you know, moving in the right direction because, you know, you got accepted to this program and now you got some money in the bank to show for it. I touched on your family in the past was managing a business and you're starting a business. What's the you have a degree? Did I see that in management and marketing?
I do. I've got a degree from University of Louisville, and okay. then I'm wrapping up my MBA from Bellarmine right now.
Gotcha. Okay, right around the corner here. Yep. But do you see, or what do you define as the difference between? And this is hard for some people to delineate. It may, I don't know, between management and leadership. I think at this point you're in a leadership role rather than a management role.
Sure,
because. Well, I'm going to stop talking and let you talk. Like, what's the difference between the two?
Right. Oh. Man, you're taking me back to my undergrad books.
Oh, great. I'm asking you a question that whatever.
No. Okay, so to me personally.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in. Is, yeah. What this means to you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Leadership is something that I guess I it's leading by example, right? And when I work with, you know, the contractors or the people that I'm employing right now, I do a lot of the work up front that I need to do and bring it to them to give them a basis that I'm working hard on this and they should be too. And we work together. It's not that I'm just sort of throwing out a list of features it needs to be. It's I'm just trying to facilitate the conversation and get feedback and ideas from them as we work together really, really hardly. So,
okay.
You know, I'm not just sort of saying, you know, here's some money, go do it, hurry up. It's, you know, let's
which is a management approach to things.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, I want to be involved and I want to hear ideas from them and how can we facilitate more ideas between each other is really kind of where I'm trying to push things.
Okay. Do you see yourself, I suppose you hope to see yourself in a more of a management role at some point where you have a time, do you have a timeline where you're gonna, I don't know, do you call it a roadmap or something where you have these goals set by, you told me April 30th, you want to be able to get this thing, you know, boxed up and sent to somebody.
Sure.
Then what? Like, do you have it mopped out that far or is this a wait and see sort of, let's see what happens?
Yeah, so absolutely. Once we sell our first couple hundred units, I find it really important to bring engineering back in-house. As we begin to design new applications for this product or new features for this product or even a new suite of safety products for motorcycles or for automobiles, mm-hmm. it's really important to me to
– So you're thinking down far down the line, like what's next?
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
So that's something, you know, we're kind of toying with right now is where that next iteration is so that this isn't just a one-hit product.
Mm-hmm.
There's other features that can align with that. So, you know, I want to be able to bring engineering back in-house and potentially maybe even bring manufacturing back in-house.
Okay.
You know, from a startup standpoint, it just doesn't make sense to do that in-house. But, you know, eventually hopefully we can.
Is this put together here or elsewhere? It's okay if it's elsewhere. It's fine.
So it's all being made within the United States. We're trying to keep our boards printed as locally as possible.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we haven't found anything really great locally within the area.
Okay.
So the boards will be shipped in from the United States and assembled hopefully somewhere very, very locally right now.
Okay.
Working with a contractor or, you know, who knows? It may be me sitting in a room somewhere putting these together one at a time.
Is that something that is like a personal thing to you that's important? I don't know. It seems like I touched on something like, oh, yeah, we're trying to keep it as local as we can.
You know, I am a big fan of keeping things local. I love Louisville, and I love keeping as much as possible here locally.
Okay.
So it is something that's really important to me to try and grow the economic and cultural hub inside
even
of
in me. The world of manufacturing, local means somewhere within the United States.
That's you know? True.
So you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
Right.
You know, but it's not always easy to find those in 2014 to find those resources that are able to do what you can do for the, you know, the money that you have. So
right.
That, I was sort of interested in that, in the challenge of getting something made.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like a hard product, something that is manufactured.
Right.
And what those challenges are. But you seem to have found American outlets for that. So
yeah, it's really not that hard and they're available and some of the final assembly is easily available locally. So I think that's really the push I'm going to make.
Where do you keep the 10-year-old kids in the sweatshop? I need a breaking story. Where's the sweatshop?
There are no sweatshops, unfortunately.
So what's going to happen a year from now? Do you have something like, okay, in 12 months from launch, we want to be here.
Yeah, we'll be in dealers, and that's the real goal is that we'll have nationwide distribution through these distributors into the dealers by the end of the year. And we'll be coming out with new innovative products that can help save lives. I think that's really important.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's real cool. How do people connect with you online?
So you can email me. Chris at gearbreak.com. I'm totally cool with that.
Is gearbreak.com up?
Yeah, it actually is.
Okay.
Right. gearbrake.com. Okay. You can look me up on Twitter. It's CLBAIL04 is my Twitter handle, or at gearbreak.
Okay.
Yeah.
You keep a blog or anything that you drop some knowledge on the peeps from time to time?
That's something that I'm looking to do in my nights and weekends is get that started.
We all want to do more of that.
For now, it's Twitter that I try and push everything through.
140 at a time, man.
That's right.
That's the way to do it. Thank you for coming over, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.